Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Not an awesome day in terms of what happened around the Metroplex last night. And it did impact the sports world, the storms. We were talking earlier about Tyler Seguin's house that he's currently trying to sell. He had already moved everything out of that house. Apparently, Mike Hiker reporting that Ben Bishop's house got hit, so he's not with the Stars today.
Yeah, but he and his family are fine, but he was not at morning skate. And Anton Hudobin is in goal tonight for the Stars against Ottawa at the AAC.
Okay, and right along with that, Shippy, I saw that Brad Townsend was talking about apparently a lot of some of the Mavericks, you know, a lot of these players have homes in Preston Hollow. Yes. Heck, our buddy Mark Folliwell lives near there, and I don't know if you saw any of the pictures he posted. Gigantic trees uprooted. Here's the Brad Townsend tweet, though. He said, "Hard hit Preston Hollow is a popular living area for Mavs players who have families." And he says, "Single guys tend to live downtown. I'm told at least one player's home sustained some damage. Physically, he's okay, but they don't know how extensive Mavs had their practice." So, you know, that could just turn your life upside down. We were talking about what Jared Sandler had to sustain with the damage to his house. And we saw up close with Jared how it turns your life upside down. Our buddy Scott Tomlin, PR for the Mavs, during the last, you know, storms, he lived over there in that North Dallas area. His house was destroyed. So there's a lot of people that don't have power, a lot of Tolos that are sort of figuring out where they're going to go right now. So if you're in that situation, we feel for you. Fortunately, though, we have not seen any reports of major injuries or even worse, lives being lost. So that is the one positive out of all this. Stephen Jones will be calling in shortly. But let's talk about a guy who's made the most of his available field time, a guy who's consistently written off, not on this show, but I think by the Cowboys coaching staff. And that's Jordan Lewis. Once again, he was out there and made a lot of big plays and is, I don't know the long-term effect of Anthony Brown's injury. Obviously, with a bye week coming, he's not going to need to play for another 2 weeks. But don't need to be taken, Jordan. If this is a meritocracy, Jordan Lewis does not need to be taken off the field.
No, he's earned it. He's earned the right, and he's just a ball hawk, and they don't have anybody like that. He's a big play guy. He helps create turnovers. He got the big sack. There's no reason to take him off the field.
No.
I mean, I understand Rashard likes taller DBs. I get it. But it doesn't matter. I mean, Cheeto last night, you know, is guarding Alshon Jeffrey in the end zone, and he had like a 75-inch vertical to try to contest a pass. I mean, it's like, I'm sorry. You're not going to find a lot of 6'4 corners. So right. Just go, and regardless, just go with who the best players are that are here right now. Jordan Lewis should be playing way more.
And I would think he would need to play KT until he gets torched.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, to me, it's a thing where because Anthony Brown, and luckily we have a bye week and he can heal up, because Anthony Brown can play both inside and outside, then I think it's a thing where they should just kind of mix and match a little bit. Maybe Anthony Brown moves outside and Cheeto comes off the field for a series. You know, I still don't know like how I'd feel because it is a very small sample size on Jordan's ledger. I don't know how he would stack up over the course of a year in terms of coverage and all that stuff versus Anthony Brown and Cheeto. I really don't know. But because you have some flexibility with those guys, why not mix and match and get him a little more playing time when they are all healthy? You know, mm-hmm. It just makes sense. He's the type of guy who finds a way to make something happen at all times. And it's time after time after time. You need that guy out there. So I'm on board with it. I'm not trying to put anyone on the bench at all. No one has to be on the bench. You can just, someone's going to have to sit almost like a pickup basketball game where someone's got to be on the bench.
dudes don't end up playing the whole game in any sport. I mean, he's a guy that's earned being out there. One of the really funny things, too, from yesterday, did you guys see the Tank Lawrence stuff after the game about Doug Peterson?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love this quote. After the game, Tank was asked about it, and he said on Friday, remember that Tank said about Peterson, shut his ass up and stay on the sidelines. Last night, he followed up with, I told him to shut up, didn't I? All right, what do you think he's doing now? Don't ask me about that man no more. Beautiful stuff from Tank and beautiful stuff here joining us. Right now, it's the COO of the Dallas Cowboys. It's our buddy, Stephen Jones. How are we doing today, Stephen?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Doing well.
It's amazing what 37-10 does for the mood of everybody. I mean, obviously, you guys won in every facet of the game, but was there anything last night that was more important for you guys than any other aspect of that game?
You know, I think we've talked about it all last week, whether, you know, the whole organization, whether it was Jerry, Jason, myself, the players, you know, we needed to start fast and, you know, turn drives into touchdowns, and that's what we did. And the defense obviously helped that along in a big way, creating those two turnovers early, and we cashed in with touchdowns. And, you know, it's exactly what the doctor ordered for this team. And, you know, I just think when we get off to a start like that, then, you know, we settle in and everything falls into place, and it's good. Now, it didn't hurt that we had our two tackles out there. I think Dak looked a lot more comfortable in the pocket, and having Amari and Cobb back out there was huge, and then, of course, Byron as well. So, you know, you never want to, you know, have any excuses, but it certainly was good to have them back.
There's a lot of talk about contracts, and everybody's looking at certain games saying, hey, they should go talk to Steven after a win, or and Jerry after a win, or don't talk to him after a loss. Right now would be a great time for Britt Brown to come talk to you guys about a raise.
Well, I agree. He won the Heisman. I told him last night after the game he deserved the game ball, and obviously did a great job of getting these guys in a place where they could not only go out and play, but play well. And, you know, Monday, we were very concerned if we'd get any of them. And, you know, testament to Britt, but also a testament to the pros that we have on this team, whether it's Tyron or Lyle or Amari or Cobb or Byron, they stepped up and got the job done. Now we got a bye week. We can really, you know, really make some ground up. And then, of course, I know Anthony was dying to play as well, but it was the smart thing to do with him, to hold him. And, but figure we'll be playing with a full hand. I think we've gotten some pretty good news on both Leighton and Quinn, and feel good with their prognosis that they should be ready to go as well. So, you know, it's a good thing to do, have a huge division win against the Eagles going into a bye week, and hopefully we'll make the most of it in terms of getting well, and got some other guys that hadn't been missing any time but could use the time off as well. So, you know, it couldn't come at a better time in our mind.
You know how it goes, Stephen. When you win and you put up numbers, boy, the offensive coordinator was a genius, and when you're not scoring, golly, you guys don't know how to call any plays, but there are adjustments that are made throughout the year. Is there anything different that you guys implemented for this game offensively that maybe you've learned over the first 6 weeks that the offense was a little – it was just way more productive this time around? Did that have to do with what you guys did differently approach-wise, or y'all just executed perfectly yesterday? What was that about?
I think it's execution. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Kellen, he didn't go up and draw up a bunch of new plays last week. You know, we've got our install. We've got our offense. We've just got to go out and execute. And as I mentioned to you, when you're missing your two tackles and you're playing with two younger receivers, you know, everything's a little different. We all know what Amari meant to this offense when we brought him in last year. It put everybody in the right spot. It made Gallup his natural spot as a two. And obviously Beasley was playing the slot anyway. And then you've got a true number one. Everything kind of falls into place. And then you're able to execute. Everybody knows what they're doing. Everybody knows what to expect. Dak knows where to expect people. And I think that's what happened yesterday. Now, you know, to me, the bigger thing that we've got to learn from this is, you know, the injuries are going to happen. And, you know, at some point we're going to be challenged to overcome, you know, to overcome those injuries. And obviously, you know, we feel like we can do a better job. We've got the depth to do it. And we've got to do a better job when we do have an injury of overcoming that. And I think we will. I think we'll learn from these last three games, and you know, when we do have to overcome an injury, and hopefully we'll execute better and do a better job.
So obviously while the game was going on, tornadoes were touching down in North Dallas, and I think maybe over in that part of town where you guys are, somewhere close to you over there perhaps. And just curious, did you guys get impacted by the storms at all last night when you got home? Did you notice anything?
We missed it, but certainly our heart goes out to a lot of our friends who, you know, were up in that Northwest Highway to Forest area where those things hit, especially right there at Royal and Preston and the Preston Hollow area. We have some dear friends that we're certainly thinking about, and just a terrible, terrible thing when you're home. You know, all your belongings and things, your things that your family loves, you know, get damaged. So tough, tough night. And certainly our prayers are going out to those people.
Obviously, you guys are going to let players have a significant rest here with the bye week. What is it like for the front office over the course of the next week or so?
It's just we'll be doing a self-eval, obviously, and making sure there's not something, you know, out there that we can improve our football team. We can take a deep breath here. We don't really, you know, have anything on the front burner in terms of, you know, things that we're looking at. But, you know, you're always looking for a way to get better. And certainly I know we'll sit down with Will during this bye week and look at and see if there's anything out there that's better than what we have, and see if there's any upgrades, you know, that might be optional for us. And we'll go from there.
All right, so we're talking to Stephen Jones, the CEO of the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. So with the bye week happening now, a lot of people see that as a logical point in which you guys might revisit some of these contractual situations, and not asking you to get into specifics by any means, but is this kind of an ideal time to kind of fish or cut bait, so to speak, on some of these ongoing contract discussions?
You know, those are so hard to speculate on. I mean, it's just, you know, at the end of the day, it takes momentum. It takes, you know, it takes both sides wanting to get a deal done. And certainly, you know, we want to, you know, everybody knows where we stand with both Dak and Amari. And we would certainly feel comfortable visiting. But at the same time, they've got to feel comfortable as well. And we'll just kind of take that day to day and see if there's an opportunity. If there is, we'll jump all over it.
Well, Stephen, thank you for the time. Congratulations on the win. Enjoy your bye week, and we'll talk to you later, brother.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There he goes. Stephen Jones, obviously a happy man. That is what they needed. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Let's get an update on all those injury situations. Let's get some insight as to what the Cowboys do over the course of the next week or so. Let's check in with Mickey Spagnola next, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
So we are barbecue snobs on this show. We love us some barbecue.
Yep.
And we're going to be at Tender Smokehouse Frisco tomorrow. Now,
missing the ribs, right?
No doubt. Two Tender
right.
Locations. There's the one in Salina, but there's also one in Frisco. It's where the old Three Stacks is. It's behind that Hooters off Preston, just north of 121, right?
Yeah.
Is that 121 right
yep,
there?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is unbelievable. Torrey Hunter is one of the owners in that place, and it is just spectacular. So he's going to be there later to watch the game. And in terms of just quality human beings, man, it's hard to do better than Torrey Hunter. He's one of the most exceptional dudes I've ever met in my life. And that barbecue is right on par with that too. They you talking about getting those ribs right? The beef ribs.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've had them.
Dude, a beef rib is like a dinosaur rib. It's like a huge, right. Like one rib can serve like a village of 16 people.
Usually a piece of gristle on it is the size of a tooth.
Oh, my God. It is incredible. So they've got a limited supply of those. One of those deals where
I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Go for the beef rib.
I am. I've never done that there. And I do love tender. And Ben, we were there when like a lot of the staff from DallasCowboys.com mm-hmm. was over there. I think it might be the official barbecue place of those boys because they're in there and they love it.
Yeah, I think Zeke's taking the Cowboys offensive line there and fed them. Yep. And that's a dangerous thing to do because that's a lot of big boys eating a lot of meat. But anyways, that is a fantastic restaurant. That's where we'll be tomorrow. Come join us tomorrow. Tender Smokehouse in Frisco. It is on. We'll be there from 10 to 2. Come have lunch with us. It's going to be great. And then Thursday, we'll be at the Pluckers in Allen.
Yes.
And that's going to be fantastic. So if you can't make it in Frisco on Tuesday, go to Pluckers on Thursday. And hey, if you got some other places you'd like us to go, we get this a lot. Folks are like, hey, we need you to come out to the 817 more. Absolutely. We would love to. And so those things depend on advertisers who step up and have us out. Mm-hmm. But again, all the more reason for you to come join us for our massive Throwdown Fanniversary, because that's going to be in Arlington. That is coming up October 26th.
Saturday.
And that's this Saturday from noon to 4. Texas Live, free to park, free to enter. Everything's free but food and drinks. And it's going to be awesome. There's going to be a lot of Cowboys and Rangers and Mavericks and Stars. It's just going to be a fantastic. Our entire staff will be there. So very much looking forward to Fanniversary coming up. Now, do we have Mickey yet? Are we standing by for Mickey?
Yeah, we got
him. We do have him. Okay, joining us now on the Ben and Skin Show, thanks to Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. It is the great Mickey Spagnola. And Mickey, lots to talk about after last night, but I want to start off by, let's talk about Leighton Vander Esch. What is the injury situation and how long might we expect him to be out?
You know, it ended up being a stinger. So he was back on the sideline in his warm-up suit, before the game was even over, and talked to him in the locker room afterwards, and he seemed to think that, he'll be just fine, get a bye after this this week, and so he'll have 2 weeks to recover before they have a play a game, and I think he's pretty confident he'll be ready to go. Matter of fact, I think he was mad that they made him go into the tent to get checked out.
Yeah, and I saw the clip where it was on the tube, but he was walking through the Cowboys Club and gave everybody the big thumbs up, and everybody was partying and all that kind of stuff. I mean, really, Mickey, are they going into the bye week healthier than they've been all year?
Well, they should come out of it healthier than they've been all year, because I think, while those guys played yesterday, I think they played through some stuff. And so, getting 2 weeks between games now,
incredible.
I think that'll make them pretty healthy going forward, yeah.
All right, any other injury concerns we need to know about today?
Yeah, Robert Quinn was going for an MRI on his ribs, but it sounded like it wasn't a bone issue. It's like it might be a muscular thing, or he was having problems there, and they couldn't see it on the when they checked him out, so they sent him to MRI. But it sounds like, unless they found something else today, in 2 weeks, he should be good to go also. And that kind of left him shorthanded because they had Dorrance Armstrong down in the game, and then he goes down. And, now you're down to Kerry Harder and Joe Jackson trying to rotate around at the two defensive end spots. So put him in a little bit of a pickle, but they seem to work through it.
Okay, so Mickey, a lot of times, we talk about a loss and everyone wants to burn down the castle and it's everyone's irate and this team sucks and pretty much we should fire everybody and make the Joneses sell the team. So let's do the reverse of that. You go in there and you beat a division opponent 37-10, but pull us back to the center. Why should we not be so high on the hog after last night?
Well, I don't know if it's just high on the hog because of the win, but I think it's high on the hog because I think we finally saw a complete game from this team. And I know they won those first three games, but if you think about it, in a couple of them, they kind of gave up some touchdowns late in the game and, kind of hacked off the defense that they allowed that to happen. And like I said, told the guys this morning, I don't want to sound like a cliche, but offense, defense, special teams, I mean, it was as complete a performance I think we've seen from them in quite some time. And I think this is, for those of us that watched all of training camp and, saw all the preseason games, this is sort of what we expected of this team. And that's why, you know, the three-game losing streak left you kind of scratching your head like, was I off this bad on this team? Did I misevaluate who these guys are? And then they kind of stepped up and kind of showed us what we thought they were, and more importantly, showed themselves. And I think it'll go a long way to giving them some confidence that they know now they can do this if they don't just step on their own 2 feet the way they had in those three games and made mistakes. You know, two fumbles when you're moving the football, three interceptions, giving up the unheard of 92-yard touchdown pass when you got the team on the 8-yard line. You know, you eliminate some of that and you get a little bit of this and you make some plays. You know, they four turnovers, takeaways, right? That's one short of what they had in six games. They started their first two possessions on the other side of the 50-yard line for the first time all year. So scored 27 points in the first quarter, in the first half. That's more than they totaled in the first halves of the last four games. I think this is what we expected. And now it's a matter of, can you be consistent enough to continue to do this?
So Robert Quinn with another sack last night, that's six sacks in five games. You know, you're looking at a 19-sack pace over the course of a season. We had Steven on, and we were talking to him about the bye week, a chance to get contracts done. And, of course, he brought up Amari and Dak. Both players know how they feel about him, and it's just a matter of momentum and hard to predict how those things are going to go. But I don't know if you guys are like me, but I would love to figure out a way to keep Robert Quinn around here long term. And there's only so much pie to go around. I don't know if it's possible considering how much money they're going to be allocating to the top of their payroll, but can you see a scenario in which Robert Quinn actually stays here beyond this season?
I think they got to try. I think that, you know, as you mentioned, six sacks in these seven games. And by the way, he had an incentive clause in that one-year contract that if he got seven sacks, it ended up being an $878,000 bonus.
So, and still underpaid.
So, yeah, even with that, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you know,
because this is, he's missed two games.
Right, and I said in seven games, really, in five games.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying. That's right. That's a 19-sack pace.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I would think, and they love him. I mean, they like the type of guy he is. They like the type of teammate he is, and obviously like his production. So I would imagine they'll try, but again, you know, those guys, they're rare finds, and if you hit free agency, you know, somebody's going to offer them maybe something that you just can't match. But yeah, I would imagine they got to try. You know, I know they got these other guys to sign, you know, with Dak and Amari. Byron Jones, by the way, did you ever hear his name called? I don't even know if they threw his way. I think he had one breakup and that was it. So he comes back after his injury and playing at a high level. So Malik Collins, he started off the game like his hair was on fire, and was one of his better games. So yeah, they've got guys that they need to sign if they want to keep this thing together. But I would imagine you throw him into that group of, let's see what we can do here. But again, unfortunately, there is a salary cap.
You know that whole narrative that Rashard doesn't like Jordan Lewis because of his size, not because of the way he plays, but he kind of gets, you know, the short end of the stick, to use a pun, I guess. But the way he's played the last couple weeks, how do they take him off the field?
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's one of those perceptions that sort of get turned into reality. I've never heard that come out of Chris Richard's mouth. Never heard it come out of Marinelli's mouth. I think they just felt like what they were trying to do, that Anthony Brown was more fit to be able to play defense in that manner in the slot. But he has. He comes in and he makes a play. You know, and somehow the ball finds him, right? Yeah, they'll keep trying to get him on the field. And you know, when we were in training camp, you know, they were kind of alternating those two guys in the slot. And so, and you know, you need that fourth corner, even if they think he's a fourth corner. You know, the week before he had to go out there on the edge and play. So, yeah, I think he's valuable. I think you'll continue to see him getting snaps. I don't know if that means he's going to be the third guy. But again, you need four guys in this league to play corner. And just go ask the Eagles with the amount of problems they had at cornerback and just getting Jalen Mills back in here last night for the first time since last year. And I think he was watching too much soccer, too, because trying to flop on that interference call, seriously, you're going to do that? You know which one I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
The deep pass where after I think Cooper did have his hands on him, and then like two or three steps later, he threw his arms up and acted like he got pushed down. It's like, seriously?
Hey, you got to flop sometimes to get the flag. Hey, we appreciate it, Mickey. Thanks for your time.
Okay, sure thing.
See you, Mick.
You know, in terms of that, I hate flopping, and the Manu Ginobili stuff just drives me nuts.
Yep.
Can't stand it. But I find myself wanting Dak to do it a little bit. Because Dak doesn't get those calls. The NFL came back after last week's game and said there were two roughing the passer calls that they missed that they should have called. He was getting killed.
Right.
But he's so big, so strong, and he just pops right up. You know, I don't know if he'd lay on the ground in agony a little bit. Would it get a flag? I don't know if that would hurt his character or damage his soul to do that. But, I mean.
I can't remember. Was it you I saw or Dawson I saw tweeting that he's getting the Cam Newton treatment?
It is the Cam Newton treatment.
Yeah.
I didn't tweet that, but that's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same when you're big and strong, you
right.
don't get those calls.
Right.
Anyways, in terms of this win and what it does for the Cowboys, it's just awesome. Hard to believe that all that was going on. The Cowboys are beating the hell out of the Eagles, and there's tornadoes or a tornado touching down in Dallas. Now, I was at the game, and I heard people talking about this. Did our partner, NBC5, did they cut in with tornado coverage?
They did, but only during commercial breaks.
Okay.
Respect.
Dude, think about that.
They did do it during commercial breaks?
During commercial breaks. That's it. Sometimes you would come in from break and the team would be ready to snap the ball, but I don't think you missed 1 second of game action.
Wow. Respect.
Is this Dallas-Fort Worth or what?
So when the tornado warning first, when I first saw the notification on my phone, I saw that, so I said, okay. So I had another tiny screen in my living room. And I flipped it over to Fox 4, WFAA, Channel 8, and Channel 11. And none of them were going to weather.
Are you serious?
At the time. I think this one snuck up on everyone. Because
My wife came home from the
warning,
movie and said, hey, a storm is coming.
We
knew
the storm was there. I don't think when the tornado warning hit, I was like, okay. And then they got on it pretty quick on the other channel. I actually, on my computer, too, pulled up Channel 5. And they were doing, you know, weather coverage continuously. And they'd go, hold on, we're about to go do TV.
Yes.
And they'd pop on the TV.
They did say that, by the way, on the TV broadcast, Ben. They said, hey, go to our... They were steering people to the internet if you wanted weather coverage.
I got Dan Brunoff nailed it. He had the path. Dan Brunoff had the path covered.
Well,
he was all over it.
I think it's Broganoff.
I love Texas
What's
Storm
Dan
Chasers.
Doing?
Texas Storm Chasers on Twitter. And this was 2 days ago. 2 days ago, they said they've upgraded much of North Texas and Northeast Texas to a level 2 risk of severe weather for Sunday evening and Sunday night. This would generally be after 7 p.m. Large hail and damaging winds is the primary concern. However, a tornado cannot be ruled out.
There you go.
So we knew that there was a chance something was coming. But when I got to the game, I had just zoned out. There's so much happening, so much in your eyeballs that are, you know, stealing your attention.
It's hard to know what's going on outside of that dome, too.
It's so loud, too.
Yeah.
I started wondering, did I hear thunder, or is that just like the drum corps? But what would happen in that regard? Like, I just saw a picture of a truck on 635 at right after the, and it was video. You should go. It's at Ben Rogers on Twitter. I retweeted it. It looks like the apocalypse. But what would happen to that stadium? Jerry World weather that?
I was actually at the Rangers Yankees playoff game in the 90s where there was a tornado, and they took us all down, and we had to go down to that lower level, the lowest level. But you know, there was like sideways rain just coming in at us. That was the game, remember, where it was halted for like 3 hours, and they finished it at 1:30 or 2 in the morning. But I was there with my cousin. They just had us all go downstairs until the worst parts of the storm went through.
I would imagine it'd be a safe place, right?
I mean, it's a
all
giant
concrete
structure, yeah. I mean, the tornado would have to probably literally go through the structure and destroy some of it, you know.
I've seen YouTube videos. I don't know if the Weather Channel did a series or one of those, you know, TV channels. They did a series on what would happen if tornadoes hit in cities. And they have it tearing up. Like, it's a crazy video to watch on YouTube. It's got a tornado blowing through Six Flags,
dude,
tearing up the ballpark and tearing up
Cowboys
Stadium.
A tornado went through Fort Worth about 7 or 8 years ago, downtown Fort Worth, and legendarily.
It was longer than that.
Was it longer than that?
I was a kid.
But before I know we were doing radio at the time, but before I guess this might have been in the 60s, a tornado went all the way down Harry Hines towards downtown. And then I was at the Mav game, the tornado that did so much damage in Rowlett and Rockwall, that went down 30. So, in fact, my wife and kids were at that Mav game. That was the day after Christmas, I believe, or maybe it was on, I can't remember. It was right around Christmas, and, you know, they stopped activity, and they put everybody on a certain level. So, stuff like that happens, man. But, yeah, it's really scary when it's in such a densely populated area.
Well, thank you again to Mickey for joining us. Brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. We got Sham Goes Ham coming up.
Hopefully, I get an opportunity to go lots of ham.
That hit a giant.
No.
I don't know what the hell they're doing here.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Touchdown, Michael Irvin.
Prepare yourselves.
Move over, sweetness. Make a place for Emmett.
For Sham Goes Ham.
To the 10, 5, walk the dog. Touchdown, Barry.
Thank you very much, guys. I'm going to start it off with a clip from the pregame show yesterday. I heard this driving back from Olney. I went to Olney for a little golf tournament action. And I heard this on the pregame show talking to Brad and Babe. And I liked Brad's analogy of the NFL season. And he was talking about fans freaking out after three losses. But this is an analogy I've never really thought about football like this before. Listen to this.
Every season is like a lifetime. It starts brand new. Let's say with modern technology that the lifespan is 90. So that means right now when they finish tonight, both these teams are going to be 43 years old. Now, why in the world would you give up on a 43-year-old?
It's very interesting.
I can relate to that, by the way.
Now, at 43, you do kind of feel like your life is kind of set, right?
Hold on a second. See, this gets into the crux of an issue KT has.
Yeah, that's definitely how it goes.
Shut up, Shippy.
You guys,
we first started working with you youngins.
I was 25 when I started working
with you.
You guys act like
40 was 80. I mean, you guys seriously think at 40 you should start thinking about your retirement and where you're going to go die?
Here's the problem with all of this. So when you're young, you have no real good feel for time. And when you're old, time flies. Like, for example, 20 minutes ago, I said something that happened 20 years ago happened 7 years ago, and I was very convinced that it was just 7 years ago.
Are you blaming that on old age? Because I just blame it on your lack of attention to detail.
No. I'm blaming it on old age. Because what happens is everything just starts being compressed.
I was like, I was 12 when that tornado hit.
And you sit there and you go, yeah, but it's like I'd already been an adult for 10 years or whatever. It all runs together.
It's tough.
It just feels like it all happened 5 minutes ago. And that's Brad's point.
Yeah. I thought that was good, though. So after the bye week, after the Giants game, this will be a, let's say the lifespan's 100. So for easy math, a 50-year-old person.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you give up on a 50-year-old person? Still a lot
pretty much over at accomplish. That point.
Let's go to the big fumble to start the game. Over to Zach Ertz.
Second and 10 at the Eagle 35. Wentz in the gun with Sanders next to him. And Wentz back and looks for the check down and has it to the tight end. Fumble! Cowboys have the ball!
That was not Ertz. That was Goddard. I'm sorry about that. That was Goddard. Yeah, pretty awesome. Jalen came over, got his paws on the ball, just like we saw him do in that Miami game. And finally something goes right. And then the Cowboys got the ball at the 45-yard line. Finally on the opposing territory.
Finally. We've been waiting for this.
What a way to start the game. And again, all the narratives that we believed to be true, for the most part, were flipped on their head almost immediately in this game,
yep.
Which is why it's so great. You can never predict what's going to happen. And right when you think your team sucks and they're done, they go and redeem themselves.
And it means nothing if you can't punch it in. The Cowboys start to drive, and then this happens.
Pollard, the running back. Tavon Austin in motion, coming to the left. And they will pitch it right to Austin. He's got a first down. 15, cuts it to 10. Running to the 5, to the pylon. Touchdown, Tavon Austin.
I love the design of that play.
That play was awesome.
That was so fun. And part of it has to do with, all right, you got Tavon going in motion and then his ability to stop and change directions and everything going to the left and all this action over to the right. That was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful. And if it hadn't worked and he got bloated up in the backfield, we'd be killing Kellen.
But again, it's one of those narratives. Oh, my God, the offense is stalled. They're not being creative. They don't know what they're doing. What the hell's happening? And then, bam, how about that? A little creativity.
Yep. I don't know what's going on in the inner workings. I know they're uncomfortable talking about scheme, but I went to bed last night and I went, that felt like a Kellen game.
See, I think that's kind of that old JD, that old John Daniels thing where he'd be like, yeah, the bad trades, that was Thad. The good trades were me. It's easy. It's all Kellen. It's all Kellen.
Right.
And I think Kellen has experienced some growing pains. And make no mistake about it, he's executing Garrett's scheme. But come on, you can't just, if something goes good, give the love to Kellen. If something goes bad, just say, oh, Kellen, somebody must have screwed Kellen over on that.
Right. How about that 8-yard quarterback sneak that Kellen called?
That was crazy. That was a good time
it's
to
really
call.
It's really not, to me, though, about it being successful or not. It's just looking at it.
I agree
like, how
with
did
that.
Out of nowhere Pollard and Jarwin get involved in the offense?
Right.
Like, it just felt Kellen. Felt more Kellen than Jason. No, who I knows? You. I could be wrong. I'm happy to be wrong.
At least our myth of what we've turned Kellen into, it felt a lot more like that.
I also was going, on that play, I hope one of two things. I hope, one, that he saw something and drew it up this week, you know, on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Or I hope that he's had that in his back pocket and has been sitting on it for this Eagles game. Which
right.
could very possibly be true.
I hope that there's a ton of stuff he's sitting on, baby. And I hope the next time somebody sees that look, there's another option on that play that has yet to reveal itself.
I'm actually one of the guys who likes Orlando Scandrick. He's really good here. Like
he
so
was.
I got nothing against Orlando. Yeah. And it was really cool, though, to see Tavon Austin slow play him and just kind of... I mean, it looked like he was almost taunting him. He was really just kind of setting him up. But I like how Tavon will slow it down and then dial it up. That was really awesome. 7-0. Then the Eagles get the ball back, and this happens.
Wentz now back to throw under duress. Ball is out again at the 15-yard line. Who got this one? There's a nasty scrum going on at the 15-yard line. Dallas has another fumble. Antoine Woods got this one.
Yeah, I'm assuming you guys felt the same thing at that point. Going into the game, knowing everybody that they got back healthy, knowing that they were going to get the ball to start the second half, knowing how hurt Philly was when that second fumble happened, I was like, good night.
No, it felt like all the momentum.
Yep, this game's over.
It felt like, dude, the crowd was nuts.
Oh,
I didn't even think of a home. You know, we don't think about the Cowboys, a home field advantage. Like you look at New Orleans, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, I thought there were parts in the game where definitely that crowd was loud enough. They had it. They had an impact on the game.
You can hear it on these clips. You can hear how much louder the crowd seems. Now, Zeke would end up scoring on a 1-yard touchdown run. That call's not as exciting. It was the run before that, which they initially called a touchdown.
It was incredible.
And reviewed a big 13-yard pounding run. Let's listen to that one.
Elliott behind Olawale. They start at the 14, leading 7-0. Two receivers come left. Prescott will hand it to Elliott. Starts left. Big hole to the 5. Walk the dog. Touchdown, Elliott.
All right, so that was one where it looked like the Zeke that we've glorified, the special ability. I mean, I heard them discussing this earlier. They may not even consider that a broken tackle because he just plowed through that guy so hard.
He murdered a guy's soul.
Yes.
And then
drug another dude into the end zone with
him. Yeah, he had burst, explosion. He looked fantastic. I still want to see if he's got the jets he used to have or could just take one to the house. But he looked dynamic and explosive last night. And again, one of the narratives destroyed.
Now the Eagles go score, so it's 14-7. Cowboys get the ball back, and Jason Garrett goes for it at the 50 on 4th-and-1. Huge, huge play. They end up getting it with a little bootleg action.
Mm-hmm.
Bootleg. And then they get down to the goal line. And when they went for it on 4th-and-1, I was going, oh, no, he's bringing all the tight ends in. Oh, no. All right, they bootleg. Get down to the goal line. Bring all the tight ends in. And I'm going, oh, no. They're just going to run around the middle. Oh, no. And this has happened.
All right, 1st-and-goal, straight eye formation. Witten comes in motion from right to left. Play fake, boot to the right, and it's an easy lob to Jarwin in the end zone. Touchdown, Cowboys!
Woo! Now it's screaming for Dak to snap the ball because the Eagles were running a guy off the field.
Yes.
Because they had 12 men on the field.
But they were so confused,
they
dude.
They were so confused.
They broke it down again later, Ben, on the TV broadcast. And even after, I think that was Jenkins they were sending off the field, right? After he goes running off the field at the last second, there's two linebackers and a safety, and they're all pointing at each other as the ball's being snapped, going, no, wait, who's what? And then both linebackers on the other side just totally bit on deck. I mean, no one was anywhere near the tight end. They were just totally discombobulated.
If I'm not mistaken on that one, Dak, as soon as he threw it, almost like, you know, a guy hits a three and he doesn't wait to see if it goes in. He just kind of turns around. Like, I think he threw it and immediately was, like, pointing to the heavens to his mom. And it was like he was celebrating, like, immediately.
I don't doubt it. It would have had to have been one of the worst drops in pro football history for that not to be six.
Okay, and lastly, let's skip the next one. Shippy did the last one. Let's do the very excitable call. This is a good one from Brad. I think, Shippy, you'll have drops for the future in this call. This is the Maher's 63-yarder to end the first half.
Okay, 63. To become the first man in NFL history to kick three 60-plus field goals. It's on the right hash from the Dallas 47. Eagles had 10 men on the field. Run another one out now. Kicks on the way. Loginava! He did it! He did it! It's history! Brett Maher is the first kicker in NFL history to hit three 60-plus yard field goals in his career, and the Cowboys go to the dressing room up 27-7.
Yeah!
What a call. That's great.
You gotta feel the ball. It's like the ball had a mouth and was talking. Oh!
Loginava! He did it! He did it!
You know what that incredible field goal obscured? Some of the worst clock management.
Oh, yes.
I mean, just brutal. So keep in mind,
did you have a problem with specifically?
The
not
going out
burning
of
the timeout after the sack. You've got them pinned inside their 20. There's like a minute 30 to go. You have three timeouts.
Yeah.
They got a sack.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, dude, on the drive before, Doug Peterson was calling timeouts to preserve time.
I actually didn't have a problem with it because the score was 24-7.
Uh-huh.
And it was a second and 18. Okay.
Right.
So I would have.
You think they're going to throw the ball down? They're going to make you use your timeouts.
The worst thing that can happen is it's 24-14.
Man, I don't know. I thought it was stupid. I don't understand that logic.
Was that the drive where Zeke went out of bounds too? There was a couple weird plays.
He let like 35 seconds run off the clock.
I know, but
it's
like
second and 18, and they're backed up.
But what
up.
If the Eagles get a first down and have time to go score?
Okay, well, I will take my odds on that. I'll take my chance.
He hedged.
I know, but what I'm saying is, dude, at second and 18, they're inside their own 20. At that point, they're trying to like escape the half.
Yeah.
They're not going to try and pick up 18 yards. They're going to run the ball and make you burn your timeouts.
Well, they threw it. On second down, they threw it.
And then he used his timeout.
And then he used
his
timeout.
And
hedged.
That was even worse. And so you know what? The reason they had to try one of the longest field goals in the history of the league is because they didn't have time to move the ball.
I understand what you're saying, but I will say that I'm not going to drive out of the lane and kill Garrett on this one because that they checked down to Jason for 5 yards, then they called a timeout. I had more of a problem with that.
Hey, Maher saved him anyways.
Yeah, Maher saved him, yeah.
All right, good stuff.
I get it.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.